The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak the word, the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness, and the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely not live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered, but in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. Yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will teach each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospels according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now there were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is from Numbers chapter 21. And they traveled along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. People came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And anyone who was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. There's a video that came out a number of years ago. And what they did is they had half the room filled with people wearing all black. I guess even their faces were done black. I guess you couldn't do that now. Yeah. On the other side, everybody was in white, including their hands and faces. And what you were supposed to do is watch this video and count how many white balls were thrown from the team in black to the team in white. Then they wanted you to enter your answer. And most people answered 15. They were right. Then they asked this group who was viewing the video and said, "How many of you saw the gorilla?" People said, "Huh?" See, they were focused on the wrong thing, because what happened in the middle of the video is a gorilla, which is black men, of course, came out, stood amongst all the black-dressed players, beat his chest, and then walked off. But everybody was focused on the white balls. And what this experiment showed is we really do have selective vision. You know, men have selective hearing. We all know that, especially when you say, "Wong Wong, can you?" All right, but we also have selective vision. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we only see certain things and not the others. Maybe it'd be kind of overwhelming if our eyes and brain tried to take it all in. It's kind of like, you ever see a kid walk into a big toy store when they're real little and they freeze or start crying because it's just too much stuff there? Well, I know my kids did that. It's kind of fun. I wish I had a video of it. Okay, when we have that selective vision, what are we focusing on? The right things or the wrong things? In the desert, in the lesson from Numbers 21, the people were focused on the manna, that bread that appeared every morning for them to collect. God was very specific, just collect exactly what you need for the day, no more. Well, they got bored with it. They started seeing the manna not as a sign of God's continual love. They began to hate that bread that they had every morning, and they got angry at God. You realize at this point in the story, it's just a matter of weeks since they just saw the plagues in Egypt, were delivered through the Red Sea, and they're complaining because God is giving them food in the middle of a desert. Now, if we had to survive just this small group of people in the desert for a week with no food, just what we could gather, how do you think we do? Personally, I don't get it. If I'm getting the bread and I'm eating, I don't really care. Okay, I might say, "God, I'd like whole wheat, but if you give me white, I'm fine with that too." But they start complaining. And I'm not putting them down, because we are identical when it comes to complaining. They started complaining, "Why did you bring us out here? There's no food, there's no water, we're going to die." And God's saying, time to refocus. Focus on Him. See Him again. I don't know if I can use this analogy, so if it doesn't work, just ignore it. But God was the gorilla in the midst. They didn't see him because they were focused on something else. So God got their attention. He sent a whole bunch of snakes. I'm going to avoid lawyer and congressional jokes. But he sent all the snakes in the people's midst. Imagine going to pick up the man in the morning and there may be a snake ready and would strike you. Suddenly they changed their minds. By the way, this is actually a commendable thing. Read through that text in Numbers 21. Immediately, they went to Moses and said, "We sinned against you, we sinned against the Lord." And they understood repentance. "Lord, we sinned against you, and we're sorry." He said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the servants from them." God said, refocus on what matters. So Moses builds this brass snake and puts it up on a pole. It says, "Everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." Interesting thing about that serpent. If you move the story ahead to 2 Kings, almost 700 years later, this serpent on a pole still existed. And King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, finds out the people are worshiping this snake on a pole, because they were about to be overwhelmed. They thought, if we prayed the same, like it delivered us before, it'll deliver us again. And Hezekiah gets mad and has it destroyed. Oh, the amateur archaeologist in me just cringes at that thought. But see, there was no power in that brass serpent. The power came from he who made the promise. You look at it and you will be saved. The power came from the word of God. And in the New Testament, the Gospels, when Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin, came to Jesus late at night to ask him questions, one of the things Jesus says to Nicodemus is, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The Son of Man had to be lifted up for our salvation. The cross in and of itself, that wooden cross he died on, has no power. Again, I just hate to tell my Catholic friends when they sell all the relics of the cross, which have to be huge considering all the relics they sell. There is no power in that wood itself. It's what happened and the promise that was attached to it. And we're told, believe your sins were forgiven on that cross, and salvation is ours. Kind of ironic. Sin strikes us, but yet Christ gets lifted up. And Christ's entire focus of his earthly ministry was our salvation and the cross. All the other distractions going on in that scene, he was only focused on one thing: our salvation and the cross. And Christ is continually telling us, refocus, refocus back to the cross. And we do have selective vision. Because sometimes we only focus on the real good things going on in our life, or we focus on the bad, or we focus on the weather. Don't we seem to do that a lot too? Just as guilty as anybody else. Sometimes we focus on all the other things around us. We focus on these other things so much in our life that we start to lose focus of Christ in the room. And also the danger Christians have is this: we get too used to Christ. You know, don't you start missing, if something's always in the room, do you ever take notice of it again, or very often? You have a tendency not to, because it's always there. Sometimes we take Christ for granted that way. He's always there. Gets it that easier to complain. Or I've heard the criticism, why should I come to church? It's always the same thing. Every Christmas, guess what you talk about? Every Easter, guess what you talk about? My answer is, hallelujah, praise the Lord, so that's all that matters. The other comeback to this one is this: you ever get tired of your spouse saying, "I love you"? Now, I like how a couple of you looked at your spouse, says, what's he going to answer? I would hope the answer is no, you don't get tired of it. Do I have to make appointments for you all to come to my office next week? You don't get tired of it. People marry 30, 40, 50 years.
Well, you've heard it for 30 years. Why do you need to hear it again? Okay? It's the same thing. The Bible is God's story of love to us. Why wouldn't we want to hear that all the time? And then enters into the story the devil. We talked about when Jesus was tempted in the desert and tempted him with the bread, throw yourself down from the temple, all the kingdoms of the world. Now, are all the kingdoms of the world in and of themselves really sinful? Is it really sinful to be concerned about jobs and cars and people and these kind of things? Is those things in and of themselves sinful? No. Is your car sinful? Well, except when you get paid. Do you ever notice when you get paid, it always breaks down? Or income tax check comes in, boom, something blows up. That's another one of the things my therapist and I are working through now. That was an entire joke, don't worry about it. Things in and of themselves are not sinful. So what Satan was tempting, is bread in and of itself sinful? No. You see what he does? He puts things out there that aren't sinful, because they're things. But again, it's the way we use them. Satan uses those kind of distractions to get our mind off of Christ in the room and onto all the other things. And Lent is one of those seasons when we learn to see again, to refocus. You know, sometimes we refer to life, the Christian life, as that wilderness we travel through. Christ is with us. What Christ is saying constantly to us is, don't pay attention to the distractions. Focus on me, and I will get you through this. The devil's always, yeah, look over here. And the cross and our salvation is our only focus. You know, when Christ cleared the temple, and he does that during Holy Week, it's because of all the distractions going on in the temple, disrupting people's worship of him. And one thing that always amazes me in that story is God himself visits his temple, and the people don't see him. They saw all the distractions around them. The religious leaders feared him. They didn't see God. What they saw was a threat to their way of life. They didn't see the way to life. They had gotten, the religious leaders and many of the people at that time had gotten so wrapped up in their own world that they didn't see what was at the center. And Scripture tells us that Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. The world was already condemned because of sin. So Christ comes in to save it. And part of it is, when you read through the Gospels, he's pointing out, yes, we have sinned, but he's pointing to himself as the only way of salvation. And just to go back to that picture of the manna in the desert, all right? And Pastor Sonoma and I were talking about this last week when I visited him, how blessed we are in the church because we have the correct understanding of what communion is. It isn't just a remembrance of what he did. Pastor Sonoma was very correct when he reminded me, one of 10,000 times, I think, since I've known him, that when Christ says, do this in remembrance of me, the actual translation is, do this for my remembrance. In other words, so when God sees this, he'll remember what he did for us. See, communion's got a whole different meaning than some of our Christian brothers put it to. And man, they lose the beauty of it. Because that is God's gift to us, saying our sins are forgiven. So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.